Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're so excited to be here with you this evening, live on the air with Dr. Allen, Empower Communications. And I believe we have a special guest that is going to be coming on with us today. I'm just talking to our switchboard to make sure I can make that happen with him. And yeah, he can hear me. But we're having some, Yes. So we're going to be having Patricia Eltage until that time. Yeah, I want to thank you, Dr. Allen. You are live on the air.
Thank you. Good. Hello.
Oh, and Patricia, you're here. Great. All right, ladies.
Yes.
Here we go. We're live.
Come on.
So, Patricia, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here, Dr. Allen. Can you hear Patricia okay?
Can you hear me? Do you hear me?
I hear you perfectly.
Hello? I can hear you.
Okay, good. Great. So what do we want to talk about tonight, girls?
We're going to talk about the significance of dreams.
There we
Patricia,
go.
Are you there?
I am here. I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Where did you get interested in dream reading?
I got interested in dream reading along with you over 25 years ago with the Want Institute. And my dreams used to frighten me to death since I had a traumatic experience as a child, and got deeper into the dream work. And from there, I started studying the dream work till I became a transactional analysis practitioner and a dream analyst. And now I have published this beautiful book called The Dream Class. Thank you, Pat. And thanks to you for mentoring me through the process. It was a long haul writing the book, and with your mentorship. Anyway, the book is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. And it ties in with everything you do, Pat, all the yin and yang and the masculine and the feminine, which is comes out of our subconscious. And everything that we dream has significance.
Now, I've learned and I've taught you that everything in a dream is something to do with you. That
everything
you dream
in a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in a dream, it's speaking to you, not to your neighbors or your mom or your dad, but you may be dreaming of your mom and your dad. What are you dreaming of when you dream of women?
When you're dreaming of women, you're dreaming of your masculine side, your thinking, your doing, your job, what you're doing in life. So that's your masculine side, because it's the paradox. So when you're dreaming of men in your dream, you're dreaming of your feelings. So your feeling-centeredness comes up. So there's a paradox there, but it's all very clear once you really start understanding. And the book is laid out and these concepts.
So what are the standards of dream analysis? What are you dreaming of if you're dreaming of animals?
Right. Well, we talk about that in one of the trap chapters. Well, we first talk about how to capture your dreams, and there are the categories of dreams come in a hierarchy of people, nature, and things. So when we're dreaming of things at the bottom of the hierarchy that were furthest away from getting the message the dream is trying to give us, but it's starting to bubble up through. And when we're dreaming of nature, which could be landscape, beaches and mountains, or animals, then we're getting a little bit closer, that's nature, to bubbling through to our consciousness. And then we start dreaming of people. Now we're really getting the message. It's really coming through to try to hit us over the head what we're our subconscious mind is trying to tell us.
Can you ever dream of things that are really reflecting reality? Are dreams always symbolic, or can they ever
yes.
be?
Oh.
Like what,
they can. They
what
can.
If
they
you dream that you're going to inherit money, and you do.
Well, that happens. Well, that means you've been connected anyway to life has presented you with the messages out there. You've been collecting and categorizing data, and it's in your back of your mind what you've been collecting and sensing through your instincts and your intuition. So we are always collecting data.
Do men and women both do instincts and intuition?
Well, the women operate out of their instincts. So we're receiving messages through our feelings, and that's our instinct. And when men are gathering data through their intuition, and that goes through mentally.
That's almost counterproductive. Men dreaming of feelings and women dreaming of thinking. When you dream of them,
well, it is a paradox. That's the Jungian paradox.
Okay.
Yes.
So, what have you learned doing dream reading that has impacted you? Mm. How has it affected that trauma experience that you had?
Well, that has just been the miracle of miracles for me over the years, and being able to wanting to teach this work because of how it impacted me, which was really reducing my stress levels and my anxieties because of the understanding that has come through, and it's impacted my life to the point where I want everyone to be able to experience this feeling of calm, serenity. It comes with serenity is when you've come to the point where understanding how the trauma has impacted you previously, before you dove into psychology and your deeper consciousness. And now, what my hope is that once people have absorbed the teachings I present in the dream class, one can develop a greater mindfulness through using the techniques of capturing your dreams and reading the symbols more accurately and applying the lessons the unconscious so generously gives us. So I have a gift that I want to share.
How do you share it? Do you share it in an office? Are you set up as an office? It's a little hard with this virus thing.
Yeah, that's right, Pat. That's right. And you, fortunately, as you continue on your work, I continue on FaceTime, on the telephone, on the computer, on Zoom. I do Zoom classes. Different groups have hired me. Their church groups or their temple groups have hired me to give a talk on dreams and actually do some dream readings. I know Kelly's a good dreamer. So anytime, Kelly, call me too for your dreams. People call me from actually all over the country and even out of the country.
So and I'm willing they call to, you?
They can, okay, different ways. My website is thedreamclass.com. And I can give out my business line, which is 310-454-0684. And the book you can find on Amazon under my name, Patricia Eltinge, The Dream Class. And that can be found on Amazon and through my website as well, The Dream Class. And I can be reached on through my website. My email address is on there. And I do classes for people. I do private telephone and Zooms and FaceTime. And all these things are allowing us to keep going and delving into our subconscious.
Good.
And thanks to you, Pat.
Pardon?
And I want to thank you for all the work that we did together in getting this book to the publisher, finally, after years of sifting through the piles of stuff that we gathered and the years of workshops that we worked on together to come up with this beautiful book.
And I want to thank you for carrying the message that I have devoted my life to, which is how to help people love themselves and other people. And dreams are such a big part of what we do. Have you a direction on how people can capture their dreams?
Yes, absolutely. Well, this is what I take away is the main thing is keep a pad and pen by your bed or a recording device and record your before you go to sleep. Set your Lyman, which is the pre-sleep moment of time between your waking life and your sleeping world. You tell yourself or write it down, I want answers to this dilemma or give me guidance in this phase of my life. And when you go to sleep, you've got this pad by your bed and you will also, upon waking, keep your eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minute period that you are in that Lyman state again and jot down with your eyes closed or speak into your recording device and still not opening your eyes, because the moment you open your eyes, you are out of that Lyman state and it disappears. The images disappear, everything that you've been dreaming, it fades away so fast. And this is a training, it's a practice, like yoga practice or practicing golf or practicing the violin. We practice capturing our dreams. So then once you have jotted down a couple of symbols with your eyes closed, then you can, once you open your eyes, you can tie the story together if you want to. The symbols are more important than the actual whole story. So then you can reflect on the dream so that you can relate it to not only this, let's say this pandemic crisis, but to deeper seated fears and things that go on in your life pre-pandemic. So it really keeps getting deeper and deeper the more you practice. And it's a whole magical world that you can discover.
Thank you so much for carrying the message and letting people learn how to do their dreams with your help.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Yes, yes.
I would like to understand the concept of the reoccurring dream. What is going on there that causes that reoccurring dream?
You shall I say, Pat? Well, the reoccurring dreams as unresolved issues, Kelly. So when until the issues in your waking life are handled, that dream will keep coming back. And I can say this from personal experience growing up after I had a trauma of being kidnapped as a child. Until those issues had been resolved, I had the recurring, what we used to call nightmares, for many years. And so what we do, you call me, Kelly, and we talk about what those reoccurring dreams are, and then you can start connecting the dots in your waking life so that ultimately those issues get handled and your dream life shifts also.
That's interesting. And I have one more quick question. Maybe it isn't quick, but it's definitely a question. What happens when you are yourself, and then you transform into another creature? Like, for example, you're yourself and you transform into a dragon.
Well, okay. Well, we talk about morphing in our dreams when we are in transition, or when we're transitioning sometimes from being in a feminine mode of sensuality and relaxing at home to having to go into a full-on work mode, let's say. So maybe you have to transform yourself and kick ass in your work life, and you're trying to morph from being in one lobe or the other.
Very interesting.
One of the things I know is happening. The highest level of information in a dream is when you dream of people. The next level down is nature. So when you go from dreaming of people down to nature, you're not quite ready to face the reality. When you then go into going down into things like planes crashing, where objects are doing things. So you can go from things to nature to people. Dreaming three times is often those three: nature, things, nature, and people.
Right. That's the hierarchy of coming to consciousness about an issue. So in Kelly, with you, the dragon, you're getting closer to coming to consciousness about where you're at with this issue. So you're getting closer to it, but it's still not people. It's still in the form of a nature, some fantasy nature. But I would still say that it's a fierceness that is coming up for you.
Okay. I'd say that's probably right now. All right. Well, this has been so much fun. I so appreciate you coming on, Patricia.
Thank you for having me.
And so people can go back to this record and capture your address or phone number or whatever, right?
Absolutely.
Which one is most desirable to you?
It's all good. My website, the Dream Class, and my business phone, 310-454-0684. I'm available.
Good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you continuing the show. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Bye-bye.
Have a great evening. All right, Dr. Allen, are you ready to take some calls?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to do my thing.
All right. I think that our switchboard, wonderful Ronit switchboard, is getting us a call. I want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by the Want Institute, and the Want Institute is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and you can also donate. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Allen. I'm calling with two questions, if I may.
Yes, you may.
The first one, thank you. The first one is about my former relationship that ended a year ago. It lasted
with a man or a woman. With a man or a woman.
With a man.
With
I was
a man.
The cherished. Yes, I was the cherished one in the relationship, and
you were the cherished yin. In other words, you wanted to be cherished for your feelings, because when you're cherished, you would feel respected. But
exactly.
Was your partner a respectable man?
Yes, he was.
Then what happened to it that's causing you to call me?
A year ago, he decided to end up the relationship. And he wanted more sex.
He wanted you to be richer or what?
No, he wanted to have more sex.
Oh, more sex?
Yes.
Was he a sex addict?
Can you turn your radio down?
Yes, it is switch off.
All right, thank you.
So yes. He wanted more sex than you were comfortable with.
Exactly.
Did his sexuality wound him or you physically?
Say again, please.
Was his sexuality so passionate that it did damage it to your body?
I wouldn't say so. I was passing a period of time in my life where I needed to be cherished, and he was in a different mood. He was looking after his needs. But I fully understood that. And my question is...
what is that to do with sex?
No, my question is that after a year, we split, he's still contacting me. I'm realizing that I'm still physically married to him, and I can't treat him as a friend. Whenever he texts...
No,
yes,
if you're
I feel...
in love with somebody, you have
exactly.
to deal with the touching sexual part of it. So he wanted too much sex and you only wanted friendship?
No, in that period, I had some health issues, and I was very worried.
Oh, you had reasons.
Yes. So,
his love was conditional, that your
exactly.
body had to be able to have sex the way he wanted it.
Yes.
Then that was sex. Do you know the difference between sex and making love?
Yes, sex is a mechanic, and making love is doing magic.
Making love is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Having sex, animals have sex, and people periodically have sex, but it's usually just strictly for the physical pleasure of it.
Exactly.
Okay. But men generally are comfortable with just the sex of it.
Mm-hmm.
Women have a predisposition to want a blend of cherishing affection and periodic passion. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So you grew incompatible because you were distracted by caring for your niece, you said?
Caring for my health.
Okay, for your health. Your health.
Yeah.
And he wanted more passionate sex.
Yes.
Have you gotten over him?
Not really, and that's why I'm calling, because whenever he texts, I feel he's checking if I'm still attracted to him, but I also feel that I'm the last option on his daisy chain in terms of priorities, and I know that he avoids commitments, and I don't know what to do.
He's interested in passion. He's not mm-hmm. interested in building a love affair.
Mm-hmm.
So are you dating other people?
Yes, I do, but whenever he's contacting me, I'm still emotionally moved. And I don't know what is the best thing to do.
How old a man are you, sir?
47, and he's 45.
You are going periandropause. Do you know what that means?
Yes.
Your testosterone is going down, and the estrogen in your body, since you were conceived, is starting to crave affection, love. Men become very feminine and very sensitive when they get past 40, 45, through their 50s. And so I want you to understand that both of you need to be cherished. But he still wants to be passionate with someone. And when he comes and uses you, that bonds you to him with oxytocin.
Yes. So my question is, what to do?
What's your question?
What to do for my sake? To cut off communication with him? Or just answer politely.
Do not taste him, do not touch him, do not smell him particularly, do not feel him, do not. You've got to abstain from being physically around him. It takes up to 2 years to break a committed bondage. Young mm-hmm. women bond to people, men or women. Older women, they don't bond. They're called cougars, and they very often can have casual sex. Younger men do not bond. They take control. Older men, and I put you in the category, need affectionate, sensuous, love.
True.
So are you willing to spend your maturity being in bondage to a man who basically is also growing older, but he has attacks of passion that require sex, not making love? So are you willing to go into sobriety about sexuality and find a man that you can be in a relationship of love with?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and you want to be the cherished one. You don't want to be the respected one.
Exactly.
Okay. So is your physical issue diminished, or are you handicapped physically? What?
No. It was a health issue that has been solved just around the moment when he split. So I felt sorry because I wanted to give back something in exchange for his support for a long time, and I couldn't. But, you know, I think...
I fully understand that. But that's called prostitution. Are you into prostitution?
No, not at all.
All right. I want you to be out there flirting.
Yes, I am.
Zoom. Are there gay Zoom programs on the social media?
Yeah, I think not exactly Zoom, but there are other channels. So I'm definitely
out
there.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't know all the channels. Are you willing to build friendships that may turn into love affairs?
Yes, I am.
Every good love affair has to be built on friendship, and friendship is good negotiation. Knowing what you want, what you don't want, and wishing both of you well. So you negotiate monogamy, continuity, how often you see each other, and how long you want to be together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see? Okay. Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
I did.
And do you know all you have to do is change the name from male to female or female to male? And it'll work. I work just as well with alternative lifestyles as I do with, quote, straight.
No, that's very clear. And I do appreciate a lot your books and your writings and your teaching as well.
Very good. So will you consider flirting and getting three men that you like who are potential lovers? Would you please hunt for men that want to date you and love you?
Yes. Yes.
And will you give them each? Remember, you're in love physically with this man. So you've got to be careful not to get rid of new people unless you've dated them at least three times and told them your requirements, monogamy, continuity, and longevity. Do you see?
Okay.
So I can help you hunt for a new love.
Great, thank you.
Just call and we'll talk.
Excellent. And I have a second question.
What's your second question?
I have a 15-year-old niece, and she is raised by her grandmother. And recently, she arrived home with a piercing in her nose, while the grandmother almost fainted when she saw that.
I got it. She had she put an earring or something in there?
Yeah, an earring.
Well, and, she's 15 years old.
Yes.
She has done something to her body. Is her guardian, her grandmother, going to take her to a doctor to remove it or live with it?
This is the question, because...
What's the question?
The girl has been raised as a boy. And she clearly challenged the authority of the grandmother. But
yes, of course, she's 15.
Of course. But now the grandmother is looking for advice, like what to do, to take her to the doctor and remove the earring, or to start negotiating with her, how to restore authority, or just to tell her that she has to...
She's a teenager. She's 15 years old. The best thing you can do is read the book Brainstorms.
Brainstorms, okay.
You know why? I'm going to say this to you, and it's going to mean something with the other question, that between 13 and 18, probably no later than 20, teenagers do not make enough dopamine to have a good time. Nature wants them out of the house, making their own families. And when they get to be 18, 19, 20, the dopamine turns back on. But teenagers have a habit of doing things tattoo-wise, jewelry-wise, drug-wise, motorcycle-wise. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The best thing to do is to negotiate a bribery. How much do I have to do, or are you willing to give up your college education unless you take that out of your nose until you're out of my house and over 18?
Correct.
So she's got to be, are you going to help your grandmother negotiate with her? Do you have much say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Would you please find something that the niece wants that is doable and exchangeable between the jewelry in her nose and whether she's going to get a car or whether she's going to school? Or whatever she is willing to negotiate, not using that. But the truth of the matter is that at 18, she has the legal right to do it.
Correct.
But until then, you can negotiate. But there's very little you can do in the way of putting her in jail. You can only negotiate and bribe her.
But
find
if she says she's...
What?
But what if she says this is what she wants?
Then you will not get a car. You will not get college education money. Find out, does she want anything in her life when she's 18?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does she want to go to school?
I guess so, but shows a very little motivation for her age.
She doesn't have motivation, or does?
She doesn't.
She doesn't. So maybe she's a street girl. Is she a street girl?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to put her into a home? Do you want to encapsulate her in a disciplined lifestyle?
Oh, I think that would be really perceived as a punishment. So I don't think it would work.
I want you to find out if she wants anything at 18 that requires your help or your money. You see?
Okay.
But she has the right to be 18, and you have the responsibility to recognize her rights, which may terminate your relationship with her, unless you can find something that she wants, that she's willing to trade for 3 years the jewelry in her nose for this gift.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
But
well, thank you.
Brainstorms. And it'll explain why they're so wild.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Remember,
there's only three ways to communicate. Intimidate them with fear. That's punishment. We're going to lock you up and put you in a, you know what I mean? We're trying seduction. Seduction. Is there anything we can bribe you with that will be enough for you to give up your right when you're with us in our home? You can do it. Take it away and do it someplace else, but not at
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
Or negotiate. We are willing to negotiate a benefit that you want if you will give us the pleasure of not seeing that jewelry in your nose.
Okay.
That's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
Did
Sounds
I answer
good.
Your question?
Yes, thank you very
but
much.
Please read Brainstorms, because whoever heard of such a thing as lack of dopamine as a teenager in order to get you out of the house or putting jewelry in your nose or drag groups, whatever. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, two really cool questions. I think it's very interesting. The negotiating with the teenager, sometimes you're right, Dr. Allen. You got to read Brainstorms. They're just a little out there in the woo-hoo, the weird wheels. We've got
That's
some more
right,
calls coming.
I love the idea that it's biological and has a reason, and I'm thrilled that Dan Siegel wrote the book, and he's a real good therapist, and it changed my life when I realized that about teenagers.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a live caller. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Pat.
What is your question?
Well, I need to know if I need to move on. Or I should do.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, I've talked to you before, but I've seen this man for over 3 years, and
wow.
This last time that we saw each other, we had a great time, and I.
Now, are you both single?
We're both
married.
No.
Both single. Is it just a lover relationship, or are you
yes.
building anything? What are you doing?
That's the problem. It's not building for those years. And he always has excuses for not building. And this particular time I was at his house, he said, what are you thinking? What's on your mind? And I said, do you really want to know? He said, yes. So I said, well, I'm wondering what we're doing. I said, what are we doing? We've been together for over 3 years. I want
your
more.
Lovers. Is that right? Your lovers? Are you
yes.
monogamous? Are you
yes.
continuous? And you're long-term
yes.
for 3 years.
Right.
But 3 years right. is the standard relationship for lovers. First year, exciting. Second year, enjoy. Third year, boring.
Yeah.
Is he bored with the passion of sexuality without the affection of building?
He
loves having sex.
He loves to be intimate with me, and I believe he's very excited with me. We both are. We have great passion. But when I want to turn it around and make it something more, he doesn't really know what to do or
you
say.
Want it to be a love affair rather than a passion affair.
Okay, because he'll ask, like, well,
is he
said self-marriage
is he getting what
he said, sell me marriage. He goes, tell me, sell me marriage. And I just told him that I believe in marriage because in God's view, I said, it's marriage is the way to go. And I said, also, I think it's a great commitment for each other. And we build on that. And we're getting older. And I said, that's what I want in my life. And
how old are you both? How old are you and he?
I'm in my 50s and he's 60.
So you do understand you're in a chemical midlife crisis.
Yes.
He's going feminine and you're going masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You want to build something and he wants to be cherished so that he doesn't have to build anything except himself.
And I think he likes both. That's why I think he might be narcissistic. He likes respect and to be cherished. And he doesn't really seem to go, you know, with my feelings. He doesn't really, I think he kind of feels like he doesn't really care.
Well, you know, I'm hearing you say is that he's a narcissist. A narcissist wants respect and cherishing equally. Whoever's mm-hmm. with them is a zero. And they are tens.
That's what I'm thinking he is.
And you just finished 3 years. I tell everybody, you can do a 3-year love affair pretty much anywhere. But past 3 years, it's got to be in love. It's got to be a loving relationship building. Whether you're building charity, whether you're building a family, or you're building rose gardens in the backyard, you've got to have purpose, someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to. So you've had a love affair for 3 years, and he is getting bored and drying up. Is that correct or not?
Well, I don't think he gets bored until... I don't think it's boredom. I think he just doesn't want to go the next step. He says he's very happy the way it is.
Okay.
And the way it is.
So you're getting bored.
I am. I need more. I told him that.
And so why not terminate the relationship unless he marries you?
Okay. His birthday is coming up. I haven't talked to him for 2 weeks since this conversation. He hasn't texted me.
You haven't answered his calls, his texts?
Well, he hasn't said it at all.
To reject him? What?
Well, he hasn't tried. He hasn't called me or texted me.
Oh, he hasn't called. What makes you think he's not bored with you?
Well, maybe he is because he waits for me. He goes, you're more, you know, you need to tell me when you're free. When you're free, I'm free, and then we can get together. So after this conversation we had, it wasn't really an argument. It was just a deep conversation. I haven't texted him or called him. He hasn't texted or called me.
Do you understand the two of you are already shutting down the relationship out of boredom? He's bored with your passionate marriage, and you're bored with his lack of passion for marriage.
Okay. Should I just move on then? And
yes, of course you do. But please, if you want to be married, would you please get engaged by 1 year? The first 3 months in a relationship, everybody's faking it and they're all perfect. The second 3 months, the bad things start showing up. Raise your right hand, please.
Okay.
I promise. On my honor, never will I commit to a finite, fallible human being.
To a finite, fallible human being.
Instead,
I will commit to the relationship.
With a finite, fallible human being. who wants to build a marriage. So help me, God.
So help me, God.
See, what you've done is you've committed to him. He's not committed to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's committed to his thoughts and his feelings. You're committed to building something with him. You can build a mating relationship or a marriage relationship. With mating, you don't get legally married. You negotiate how monogamous, how continuous you see each other, and you stay together until you're bored. But remember what I said a few minutes ago. You need three things in life. Someone to love, whether they're lovers, whether they're, you know, married, whether they're single. Something to do, which is, what's the purpose of our relationship? And mm-hmm. something to look forward to. You have reached the end of your love affair of 3 years.
Right. Now, he said this last time, too, though, you're not ready. And I said, what do you mean I'm not ready? And he goes, well, you still have a child you're raising, which I have a teenager. And I said, well, you knew I had a teenager. I said, you know, and he goes, well, because I do want to live with someone. He goes, you're just not ready. And I said, well, I could move in with you with my child, right? And he said, that would be weird. And then I just said, okay.
He doesn't want to have a family, dear.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got one. You're actually incompatible, and that would have showed up early. Did you ever get the inkling that marriage was not his goal?
When I first met him, he said it's not out of the question that, you know, nothing's out of the question, but he kind of just left it open like that.
Well, remember, marriage is for women and children. For men, it's a responsibility. So men mm-hmm. are very cautious about legally marrying because it's financial responsibility.
Yes.
How old is okay. your child?
He's almost 18. He'll be 18 soon.
So he'll be 18 and you're ready to marry. That's why it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants your, is it a son?
Yes.
He wants your son to be invested in his life. Otherwise, he knows that there's, we even know that young people are living with their parents now because of this strange world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to be responsible for a family. He's yeah. loved the relationship as a love affair.
Mm-hmm.
But not as a yes. family.
He told me his last relationship, he got close to the whole family, the kids, everything, and it fell apart, and he
Why?
Never saw the kids
Why?
Again. He told me that she went her own way and I guess met someone else, and then everything broke up. He didn't see the kids, talk to the kids, and he doesn't want to do that again.
All right, so you're even telling me the data that convinced him. Generally speaking, getting engaged by 6 months and married by 1 year, unless he's finishing a law degree or in medical school or in Afghanistan, do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I waited too long to.
Well, he's hoping that you would be happy being mated with him. Why can't you be mated? Why do you have to be married?
That's what he said.
That's what I'm saying. Are you
well,
wanting another baby?
No, I just feel like marriage is just a good...
Marriage is committed. A financial responsibility.
Mm.
I advise people never, ever get married until you know somebody one solid year. Psychopaths can lie for at least 9 to 12 months. Why do you want to get legally married?
Well, because of religious reasons. Also because I think it's just a good commitment that I could grow old with.
Honey, if that were the case, 60% of the marriages wouldn't end up in divorce. Marriage has to, Harvard did this study. They asked 10,000 people, why did you marry? Why did you mate? Two-thirds of men mate and marry for sensuous and sexual stability. They want to know where they're going to eat and where they're going to get laid. One-third of men mate or marry for status. I'm her husband, and her dad owns blah, blah company. And financial security. She makes her own money. She's got her own company. Older women are easily captured by young men who want healthy women that have taken care of their bodies and can pay their bills. You see what I'm saying? I want you to consider, because the biggest problem that human beings have is loneliness. And you are setting a standard for a man who was wounded in a marriage-bound relationship and swore he'd never do it again, and you're the person he's not doing it with. Are you positive that you have to be married?
No. I mean, I love him. And this last time I was with him, he told me, do you know how much I miss you when you're not with me?
Who said that?
He said that to me.
Of course he does. And that's what's going to drive the look, dear. He's not going to marry you because he doesn't want another family. I hear that. You want to marry because you have the idea that you can be more committed legally married. Not so. Not so.
Okay.
Mating is morally bound, just like marriage. Marriage asset is money, status. Two-thirds of women mate and marry for financial security and status. I'm his wife. One-third of women, preferably older women like myself, I'm just turned 86, and I've buried four men, husbands, and I don't want to marry anybody else. You know why? Because men need to have a woman love them, but it ends up a nurse and a purse. You hear that?
Yeah.
We women are physically able to live longer than men our age, unless that man has the fortune of having a loving, cherishing, because men need cherishing as much as respect when they're over 50. Do you understand that?
Okay. I didn't know that.
Women need respect. That's why women are trying to grab men that can give them status and security. Why do you work?
Yes.
Do you work?
Yes.
Well, why don't you just work? I'm 86 and I'm going to work till I drop dead. You know why? I like being an individual.
Right. Yes. And you know what? I was laid off for a while. I'm getting my job back now. But yeah, you're right. It just, it doesn't feel right staying home. I do like working, you know.
Then why are you trying to get married?
Because I married once and it didn't work, and I it failed, and I want to remarry one
day.
What
do you mean? You're going to get married to prove you can marry?
Maybe that's it, and that's probably not a good
reason. I got news for you. Men don't live that long unless they're already married. You guys are at exactly the right wrong age to marry.
We're not the right age to marry?
No, you're at the age to mate.
Oh, okay.
Stay together. Okay. You heard me say I've been married 4 times and they're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
I've got news for you. I found that being together with somebody you love is good. Now, my last marriage was my best one, and we married. I'm glad we did. But it would have been okay if he said no, as long as I felt cherished and he felt respected.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an ordained minister, and I do ceremonies for people that don't want to legally marry, and I give them ceremonies that are identical to ceremonies for marriage without the documents.
He mentioned that once. He said, I would do a ceremony, but not legal marriage.
Well, then I got news for you. Am I telling the truth about him or not?
You are. You are. So what do I do now?
Consider. You go back and you say, mating is monogamy continuous. Do you believe that he's monogamous, continuous, and long-term?
I do, but he can't tell me he loves me, and it that hurts me.
Honey, he doesn't love you because I love you means, will you marry me?
Oh. Okay.
He's already told you, I don't want a family. I want to be in a relationship, and people have a right to be legally married. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you're losing somebody, you're losing him trying to marry him. That doesn't make sense.
I think I scared him off, I guess, you know.
No, you're scaring him off. He hasn't called you for how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
It's his birthday coming up. Should I send him a birthday wish and say something?
Yes. Tell him have you got the message I'm saying?
The what? The message?
What am I teaching? What am I saying to you?
You're telling me that we're compatible, just don't think about marriage.
Unless you want to be alone until you get a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably that's under 40. But he's going to leave you because he wants to be with the woman to have a baby.
Exactly. Yeah. I like my age or older. So. And I love him. Mm-hmm.
What?
And I love him. And he knows that.
I know you love him. What?
I just don't know.
Would you be so kind as to decide whether you want a mate for his birthday?
Okay. Should I call him or should I text him? What should I do?
Anything that would get to him as good as you can. Don't do anything I'm saying if you want to be married or alone.
Okay. Okay.
I do not give advice. I teach concepts that you may choose. I've just got 50 years of experience helping people mate or marry.
Yeah, and I just want us to be happy. And I am happy when we're together. It's just my mind keeps going to what are you doing with me? What do you want with me?
What religion were you raised in?
I was raised Christian.
And did they not tell you that marriage was the right thing to do?
Yes, my grandmother really instilled that it's a sin to have sex before marriage. And, you know, I still, maybe that's
is what her husband alive?
No.
But she's alive.
No, they're both gone. Yeah.
They're both gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, decide. Mating and marriage is the same thing, except the legal financial documentation. You can be as spiritual mated as you are married, except that if you want to have kids, it's important that you consider legal marriage so that your kids are protected by that marriage. But you're not having babies.
No. No. No.
Okay. And you're going to be in an empty house very shortly.
Yes.
Very shortly. So consider what I'm saying and do what you know is right for you.
Okay. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. You've been very helpful.
Have you read A Man's World, A Woman's Universe by me?
No, I haven't.
It's a book, and part of the book is being an I, being a we, and being an us. These are the three ways to be. And I just talked to you about how to be we different than you were raised. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay.
And that makes sense, because marriage is just a paper. That's what it is.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mating is spiritual too when it's done spiritually.
And that's a beautiful way. I'm going to really think on that. I think that's the way.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. That's when my parents were doing genealogy. My mother tried to get the death certificate for her great-grandmother, and she wrote to Cook County, Illinois, and they said, I'm sorry, your great-grandmother never passed away. We don't have a death certificate for her. So, yeah, it's a piece of paper. it's a piece of paper. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello.
Yes. Hi. Hello. Can you hear me? Hi.
What's your question?
I called you last week, and I've been calling you regularly. I have been doing a no contact with my partner, who I believed had cheated on me. So I haven't talked with him in 10 days, but he's been, and I blocked him. I talked to you last week. And
yes.
I blocked him in every way. And he found ways to overcome those blocks. And he's been texting me and emailing me and calling me a lot, saying he really wants to talk. He's, you know,
he's
like,
courting you, so dear. Just, he's courting you.
And I'm not sure. I feel conflicted because I do not want to date a psychopath, narcissistic cheater.
I understand, so don't date him. So just continue ignoring
him?
Why not? Are you tempted?
Okay.
He's cheated on you.
Tempted.
Are you saying what?
Yes, I believe he has cheated on me.
Do you have evidence?
My mom went to pick up my things at his house. No, No, my mom went to pick up my things at his house the day after I believed he cheated on me, and she was at his house, and the two of them together packed my stuff in my mom's car.
Oh, I see. You've got evidence. God did not build human beings to be monogamous. Men are slightly polygamous than women.
Yeah, and one other thing was he told me he's been having an ongoing relationship with a woman he broke up with a long time ago, but she doesn't know about me, but they still talk on the phone, and he feels guilty, and he takes care of her.
Is a single man who doesn't want to be in a committed relationship.
And yet he keeps texting and calling.
How long have you been with him?
We were engaged and together for 1 year in October. Would be a year.
All right. Why are you now with him?
I'm not with him, but I left him 10 days ago because I believed he was cheating. And he just keeps calling, texting,
but
emailing.
He wants you in his nest. Do you want to be one of his women?
No, I don't.
Then will you please not taste him, touch him, smell him, see him, or hear him?
Okay,
so just
take
up to 2 years. What?
And so I'll just continue ignoring all his texts. Okay, don't respond.
Don't respond.
All right.
Because... Okay? Because when you respond, he's courting you and you're responding.
Right. And I don't want to do this. Left him. And he lures me back and I keep going back and then I regret it.
I understand that. I think nature's wonderful. Oxytocin is the super glue for relationships staying together when the couple is mad at each other.
Yeah, well,
people that
it's
are
hard,
truly listen to this. People that are truly in love are so territorial. Don't forget to read the book Dangerous Passions by David Buss.
I have.
B-U-S-S.
Yes, I have.
If you're not
I
jealous.
I have, and I felt.
If you're not jealous, you're not in love. He's jealous of you being with somebody else. What?
Yeah, I don't know how he feels about me, but I felt jealous, and I felt in love, and I don't want to share him with other women. And it feels like if I stay with him, I'm going to have to share him with other women, and I don't want that.
Absolutely. Then you've got to abstain from him. You can't taste him.
Okay.
Definitely can't smell him. That's pheromones. You can't, when you see him, your clitoris will lubricate. I'm telling you, you're in love, and he's in love with you, but not monogamously. He wants you in his harem.
All right.
And that's nature.
All I need to know that, yeah. All right. I'll continue blocking him and ignoring him and staying strong.
And dating other people.
Yeah, I don't know how
you've
to do
got
that.
To be, you've
age.
Got to be disloyal to him for you to leave him. Your body loves him.
Well,
you don't like him.
Yeah.
But your body likes him.
Should I go out?
This is what addictions are all about. What?
Yeah, definitely addicted. I definitely feel addicted.
Okay. So, with that in mind, what are you going to do?
I guess I'll figure out how to date and go out with guy friends and just connect, reach out to guys, other guys.
Yes.
Is that,
you're going to be disloyal to him. Do you want a book about sexual addictions?
Sure.
Do you want a name of a book about sexual addictions?
Yes.
Yes. This is by my sponsor. I'm certified by McLean Hospital on the Harvard campus as an addiction specialist for alcohol and sex. And the person that sponsored me is big deal. He wrote
Patrick
a book.
Carnes.
Patrick Carnes, Out of the Shadows. Understanding Sexual Addiction.
Okay.
Here's what it says. Interesting, readable, and original. Of value to begin to understand these age-old sexual behaviors. So are you willing to realize that you have to do what every drunk, every drug addict has to do? You can't practice sobriety by tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, and hearing him.
Okay. I can do it as long as I know there's
no problem. I have no problem with you being in his harem. That's a moral decision on your part.
No,
I'm a therapist, not a moralist. I only have to report to the police for child abuse, elder abuse, and disabled adult abuse. Those are the three things that my marriage, family, child license requires calling the police. Who you screw is your problem. Got it?
Well, I don't want to. Yeah. Okay. I'm staying away. So I just needed this little confirmation from you, and I'm happy to continue staying away from him.
Good. And have you read the book Out of the Shadows?
No, I will, though.
I think you should, because I think you're bonded
okay.
to him, and that is really powerful.
Okay. I'll order it on Amazon right now.
Okay. Good girl.
Thanks, Dr. Pat. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye. All righty.
Kelly. Kelly?
Yes. I'm here.
Are my ears working pretty good?
They're working great. You're doing a great job as usual, Dr. Allen. Fantastic.
Good.
I think we have more callers.
Good.
And we Ronan at the switchboard is so awesome for us. There's another call. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hello, ladies. Hello, Dr. Pat.
Hi. I can't believe it. I love it when men call. And I want a couple. I want a couple to volunteer to be on the show so that I can do a couple in front of everybody. Come on.
Well, hopefully one day I can call you back with my partner and talk to you together. But so today, my question
is, you are gay?
Yes, Dr. Pat. I'm a gay man.
That's fine. You said partner, so that's what I'm saying. What can I do for you? And thank you for calling.
Oh, you're very welcome. In the past, you've mentioned that there's two types of gay people. You said that there's
the biological, and
yes,
the
and the psychological. Yes, I was wondering if you could please expound on that further. And because
which
I want to know
both
because
both
I, yes, please, because I don't know if I'm biologically gay or psychologically gay. And if knowing would even be important. what type of gay person I am.
I can give you some data. Are babies,
please,
when they're conceived, masculine or feminine?
Feminine.
They're all female or age. Then the baby and the mother, their chemistry collides, and the mother starts to produce testosterone, and the baby starts growing a penis and the accoutrements of maleness until it gets to a certain stage of development, which may or may not be enough to block the feminine. There are people, there are men that are not fully hormonally male. They are both male and female. And you can go to a lab, I think UCLA has one, identifying gender. You can find out the balance of your maleness and femaleness. And there are girls that started out female and mother misread. You understand that when a mother gets pregnant, she often gets pregnant with multitudinous embryos. And the interesting thing is, we now know that those embryos can be absorbed by male and or female embryos and impact the feminine or masculine identification. So what I'm saying to you is, in the beginning of life, everybody's female. And then mother's body and the child's body have to co-create a final identity. I know for a fact that when I was an embryo, I ate one of my brothers, or I wouldn't have this brain. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And in my office, women approach me like seductively, but not men.
That's very interesting.
But I'm not lesbian. But I know that I must put off chemistry that signals other people's bodies about what my mom and dad co-created. I'm just talking about myself.
Yeah.
What do you think? Now, that's physiological.
Yes.
Okay.
For me, personally, what do I think?
What?
Oh, were you asking me what do I think about myself, if I'm biologically gay or psychologically gay?
What do you think about what I'm saying, the scientific aspect of how you become a man by being a woman and your mother and you co-create you?
I think it's biologically correct. I think that's the correct explanation.
Nobody is all male or all female. Nobody.
Yes.
We are all a combination of male. Men generally have male bodies, but they have extremely sensitive female souls, the anima. Carl Jung, the psychiatrist, had a wife, Eva, who wrote a book, Anima Animus.
Yes.
Women have female bodies, but they have male souls, the animus. There are four people in every relationship. Chemically, hormonally.
Yep.
Nobody's pure anything. So have you got enough of what I'm saying in that way?
Yes. I In terms of biological gay, yeah, I think that's a very good
now,
explanation.
Let
but
me
then,
ask
yeah.
you, if your mother
yes.
walked in the room right now, would she ask mm-hmm. you how you felt today or how you did today?
Well, I haven't seen her in 20 years, so I,
when you
based on my recollection,
years old,
yeah.
when you mm-hmm. were 10 years old, did
yeah.
your mother respect you? Did she negotiate
I would say,
with you?
No, never. I don't think my mom ever negotiated with me. She was a single parent.
Then, I know that, dear. But she was also very masculine.
She eventually, yes, she had, although very feminine externally, but yes, she would.
I got news for you. Some of the most beautiful people are drag queens, yes or no?
Yes.
Got it?
That's true. Yes, absolutely.
Are you willing to read a very profoundly solid book about the effect of your mother on you?
Yes, please.
Now, this is for psychological reasons.
That's fine.
I work with people who want to experience. Do you realize that many, many, many gay people are homophobic? They're ashamed of being gay.
Yes, I'm realizing that now, although I've never experienced that because
I want you to know that truly biological gay people are happy being gay.
I think I fall under that category. Yes, I don't think, yes, I don't think I'm homophobic, and I don't. And I feel very happy now in my life being a gay person. But if
that's
I may
fine.
Share, yes, but Dr. Pat, if I may share this piece of information, I believe when I was very young.
Yes.
When I was very young, when my dad was still living with us,
who is the head
I remember
of the house,
that
the man, your dad or your mom?
When my dad was still around, he was the head of the house. But then when he left the family, then my mom had to fill that role. Yes.
Do you understand that your father was a role model for your manhood? How old were you when he died?
He left the family when I was about 9. Yes.
When you were
but
what?
He's 9 years old, around
you
nine
have
9 years
to see
old.
Your father. There's a wonderful book called Iron John by Robert.
Yes, you've Fry. Mentioned the Iron John. Yeah, Iron.
Iron John is for men that have lost their role model fathers, and so that's when mothers step in and start molding you into a castrated man. Are you getting what I'm
yes.
saying?
So, but that's, but in effect, what you're saying is that's more psychological then.
That's psychologically gay. And those people
so, I don't know.
Are hideously,
yeah.
hideously homophobic.
Yes. And my mom back then wasn't, you know, every time she talked about homosexuality, although she had a lot of gay friends, I knew she didn't want that for me.
I hate to say this, pal. Why did your father leave your mother?
You know, I don't have all the information because both of them have passed away. But just in terms of interviews, you know, I've done with their friends, you know, just this was more than 20 years ago.
They were both male.
Huh. Interesting. I could see that.
Does she have any sisters or brothers that are alive?
Yes, she had 7 siblings. And she
Would
was
you
the youngest
please
out of
ask,
yeah.
Yeah, right. Would you please ask them if she was a do-good to feel good or a feel-good to do good human being.
Okay, I will do that.
Because I think your mother's masculine drove your father away, which was your role model. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have an older brother, but we don't talk anymore. And he used to beat me up physically growing up.
Is he straight or gay?
Very straight, very macho, very alpha.
But you know what he's like? He's like your dad, which is the reason your dad left.
Yes, and to this day, like, I don't understand why my brother would defend my dad, even though I feel like my dad did us a lot of wrong growing
up. I got news for you. You got castrated by your mother.
Yes,
you got
absolutely.
By your mother. Cherished.
My brother did. You're saying?
Yes.
My brother was, yeah, okay.
You got cherished.
That's very true.
He was respected. Looking, yeah.
Yes.
But
that's
I would
absolutely
imagine
right. Oh, my God.
I know. He and your mom must have done wars together.
My brother and my mom?
Yes.
Yes, that's very true because I remember a long time ago. No, it's
because
amazing.
Your brother reminded your mother of your father.
Oh, that's so interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Do you know what I'm
yeah.
doing? I'm doing script analysis.
Claude
Schneider wrote a book, Scripts People Live. I'm going over your script to show
you
that you may be psychologically gay, which means you were castrated by your mother.
Yes, and may I also add that two things. When my dad left the family, for some reason, my mom started asking me to, you know, apply her makeup on her. Or, you know, I remember
what
when I was young.
Doing was asking you to make love to her, dear.
I think so. Yeah, in a way, I think so.
I know so.
And she would always want me to accompany her to go to the mall to pick out clothes,
you
know.
Do you understand that you were mated to your mother physically?
Yeah, I can see that. I can
Are
see that.
Are you willing to read a book about this?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Puer, P-U-E-R.
Okay.
Aeternus, A-E-T-E-R-N-U-S.
Okay.
Puer, Aeternus. Little boy forever. Little boy forever.
Little boy forever. Okay.
And it's by Maria von Franz. F-R-A-N-Z.
Maria von Franz.
And you will read in that book all of the ways that your mother treated you that caused you not to duplicate your father or your brother.
Interesting. Interesting. And I don't know if I should share this with you, but I might as well.
Do I have to call the police about it?
No, because it's after the fact. But I remember when it started very young, my dad actually, see, I don't know how to think about it. In a way, I felt like my dad molested me physically. Because
of course he did. You know
I would sleep in the same bed. And then he would, you know, at night.
I want you to understand, he knew your mother was in love with you, but she didn't respect him.
Yes, that's right. She never respected my dad.
I know that. She cherished you.
Okay.
And my guess is your dad in a drunken whatever. Did your dad drink?
No, but back then he would smoke pot very heavily.
Okay.
This was back in the early 80s. Yes.
When a man uses mind-altering chemicals, he knocks out his brains and intuition in favor of his instinct and his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm afraid you were molested by your first not gay straight man. It's called pedophilia, but in truth, he was envious of your attachment to his sex partner, your mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one more thing. I don't know if my mom and my dad.
To a woman.
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, I guess if I was to be really honest, maybe very rarely. I mean, I remember I had a best friend when I was 20 and we were close. She knew I was gay and she was straight. And then one day started, but then I didn't really want to entertain that. No, never, 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 never had
with a woman.
An erection. Never. I don't believe I've ever.
You had a 20-year-old woman who was as close to being potential. I just want you to see that. That's normal for a psychologically gay man and a psychologically gay woman for a man in her life. Physiological is physiological and it's not changeable.
Okay.
That's why they sue churches now for trying to convince all gays that all gayness is a sin.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is half of gayness is basically normal.
Yes.
And the other
I agree.
Half is castrated. And
it's
done in childhood by the age of 10 for boys and the age of 8 for girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I've given you a book about what a genius wrote. Maria von Franz was a protege of Carl Jung.
Oh, was she?
Oh,
I've got to read her book then. Yeah, Little Boy Forever.
You've got to read her book.
I will order it tonight.
On a psychological level.
Me?
Okay. But watch the author, because there are two books written Puer Eternus, but one of them is by somebody I don't care about.
Okay.
I only care about this book because it speaks to a man like you who's investigating how you became you.
Exactly.
And that's
what
I'd like to do. Okay?
Thank you. And just very quickly, Dr. Pat, before I go, would you say that, because
Much for calling. What?
Oh, you're welcome. So I think I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin.
There's nothing
wrong.
Do you know?
Yes.
Have you ever seen bisexuals that have lived both straight and gay?
No, I don't. I don't know anyone personally who are bisexual. That's the problem. So I'm trying to investigate further. Yeah.
You might want to look around because they are both male and female, either by biochemically or psychologically, but they've bridged the gap. Are you the gay one? Are you the cherishable one or the respectable one? Do you give
or do you
receive?
I prefer receiving. I think I'm the yin.
Cherishable.
Yes, cherishable.
You're more yin energy.
Yes, I am. I believe that.
All right. Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. Let that run your life.
Yes. And what I'm doing now is I'm trying to act like a yin in most areas of my life, just so that I can explore and, you know, what being a yin person is.
You have to feel good to do good.
Yes, and for the most part, I believe that really works out well for me. You know, I like my environment to be beautiful. I like lighting up candles when I take a shower.
Great,
really helps me in my life. You know, I feel like I'm more productive that way.
To somebody that's done with you, correct or not?
Romantically speaking?
Yes.
I don't know. Yes, I'm bonded to someone, and that was going to be my second question, because I believe, although I'm not
leading into it.
You're amazing. That he too might be a psychologically gay person, and I don't know if in the final analysis we're compatible. I mean, I think we are. Chemistry is just
productive. Wait a minute.
Yes, he is. And I think that's, yes, he is. Super.
Why don't you date him from your feminine to his masculine?
I'm trying, but I think, and you know, you're right. I am, you know, open to that. But because of everything that's happened in the last 6 months, it's just been very difficult for everyone, including myself, to pursue.
I understand that. I'm
romantic relationship.
I'm talking about doing social media friendship building.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Okay, so now, yeah. From the very first time we met, the guy that I like, I there was just a mutual attraction, and it's very powerful.
You had chemistry, dear. Chemistry.
Oh my goodness, through the roof. And I see him at least once a week because we work together. And although I've felt like maybe this is not going to go anywhere, but every time I just smell him, it's just.
Why is he going anywhere? How dare you think that the four of you, you're both men and you're both women. Why can't the four of you date and form a relationship? Why?
Because it's taking so slow. It's too slow. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Actually, I was going to say, you know, it's been a year since I met him. And in the beginning, we were flirting heavily with each other.
I know,
and
chemistry does it that way.
Yes. And then suddenly,
we only have a few more minutes, and I want you to say that you're going to invite him to lunch and you're going to start being flirtatious and see if you can get him to date you.
All right. I will do that. I will do that.
Please do that. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
For this phone call.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you.
Haven't you?
I have, Dr.
Did that make any difference in your life?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. It has. Romantically, it's been very slow right now for me, but in every other area of my life, it has improved dramatically.
Then would you please let it grow and glow in your romantic life? Stop being homophobic.
All right. I'll stop being homophobic. I promise.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. I appreciate you very much.
Call again.
I will.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye bye.
You're welcome. You bet.
Well,
very interesting. I cannot wait to hear an update on him. Fabulous.
That's what I've learned in these 50 years.
I know, you're amazing. We got another caller for you. And this is our last call. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Have a question.
Yes, I do have a question for Dr. Allen.
What is your question?
So I was on a date. I've been on a couple of dates with this man.
You dated him or he dated you?
He dated me.
Got it. So you were the girl.
I was the girl. But during the dates, he keeps making jokes to the point where
about
I feel like
what?
I can't. Just about everything. Everything we discuss is always a joke.
What he was doing was covering his sensitivity with humor. Every comedian on stage is doing jokes because they were too shy to be real as kids. I don't care who they are, because humor covers shyness.
So, I mean, some of the jokes...
He was attracted to you and didn't want to show too much of himself.
But
did you date him some more?
Yeah, so we've gone on 3 dates now, and he just asked me...
I want you to keep dating him. Is he repulsive physically?
He's not repulsive, but the joking really has turned me off, like the chemistry... I'm just like, I don't know
have
how I can have a serious...
Have you said, I want to say something to you about us. Is it convenient for you to listen to me now? Yes. I know that you're thinking or you're wanting to entertain me with your jokes, but you're turning me off. Do you want to turn me off? Because I'm very willing to walk and not talk. I'm very willing to sit on a bench and not talk. You don't have to talk to me, and you don't have to crack jokes.
So I actually told him in so many words that his jokes were turning me off.
And what did he say? Good girl, good girl. What did he say?
He apologized. He was like, oh, that was not my intention.
No, that wasn't. He was trying to pretend he was a normal, funny guy.
So
really,
I thought
just
that was
a shy guy. When did you do this? Was this the last time you were with him, or have you seen him after that?
This was the last time, but during that same date, a couple of minutes later,
asked you for another date?
No. Well, actually, he just texted me asking for another date, so that's why I was calling.
Are you going to give him the timeout signal?
Well, he did something during that same date afterwards that,
yes,
again, turned me off even more.
Which was what?
So he cracked another joke, and I guess he could tell by my facial expression I was not amused by it. And, you know, he made
and
the comment.
And what did he say?
He made the comment that I'll keep irritating you because it's funny to me.
What did he say? I'll keep irritating you until what?
Because it's funny to me.
To him?
Yeah, to him.
Okay, then why don't you date him and not speak to him?
How do I do that?
By shutting your mouth.
Well, I guess
He's trying to fight with you. I adore you for having told him he's turning you off. I want you to watch the movie of his self-destruction.
Oh, yeah, because like I said, it turned me off, and I don't
I know
really
that,
actually
dear, but
don't
I'm telling
it.
You, Watch the movie. Don't interact with him. Jokes. What?
Well, I'm thinking of, because he asked me for a fourth date, so I think I'm going to can him, because I'm just like, okay, you're actually doing this intentionally now.
He's doing what intentionally?
Making the jokes to irritate me.
You know what? I'm telling you, he wants to fight with you. Because
Darren,
I already know that. Don't give him the pleasure of your fighting. Just look him in the eyes and smile. Don't say a word. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. Let his jokes fall on the floor.
I can do that.
For 3 dates. I want to see if he'll date you 3 times when you're not fighting with him. Would you do that, please?
I can do that. I can theme him for another 3 dates, although this was the third one.
Good.
So for the fourth,
you will not say anything negative to him. You'll let him say jokes. You'll let him run off at the mouth. And you will just look at him.
So I'm assuming this is more training for myself. Because, I mean,
Yes, it is, dear. What I'm doing is training you to blow games up in a man's game. He's so shy that he can't talk normal.
Okay.
He's too afraid of intimacy. And he's waiting for you to say, I never want to see you again. And he'll know he's safe. No more love.
So here's the pickle. The way he's asked me for the next date even makes it more complicated. So he wants me to go over to his house, but he mentioned
Okay, and with that never, I'm going to have to say we are out of time. Caller, please call back next week. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say real quick before we go?
I want you to go on dates, I'm afraid he'll touch you in bad ways.
Got it. Okay, everyone, we'll be back next week. You know where to find us, and you know how to download our show. Also, go to www.drpatallen.com and watch our free video that's on there right now. Until then, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.